Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Around Town. We're excited today. We got some great guests. We have the dream team of St. Patrick's Day in Five Points here. We have Heather, who also has a dual role as executive director of the Five Points Association. And then there's Trey Judy, our illustrious music promoter, who has helped elevate our sound at St. Patrick's Day to a whole nother level. And we're so excited about the lineup. Thank y'all both for being here. I know some folks forget about St. Patrick's Day from, you know, the standpoint of what it really does for our community. People don't realize, yes, we have a great time all day long and we hear great music, but it's also doing a lot in our community for great causes. And I'd love to start off with that. And Heather, maybe you talk a little bit about St. Patrick's Day and its history and fill people in about, you know, what y'all have done for the community. This is this is Five Points fundraiser. Mm-hmm. And it started off as a way to get everybody together, and it turned into something that has put hundreds of thousands of dollars back into our community for good causes.
Absolutely. So it started just over, I think they're 42 years. But that was some folks down in Five Points. They recognized the fact that people were going down to Savannah and really wanted to establish something that would keep folks here in town. And obviously you have it be an opportunity to give back to some children's charities at the time. So over the years, we have donated over $1.2 million to local charities over the 41-year history, hopefully adding to that this year. I think last year we doled out about $62,000 to local charities. So that's a great thing about the festival, like you said, and it gives us the opportunity to help folks that may not get funding or have limited funding, and anywhere from children to women and babies and animals. So it goes across the whole board.
I think that's so awesome. You know, you forget about 42 years of history. I remember my first St. Patrick's Day that I had in Five Points. It rained. I was working the door at Elbow Room. Got home the night before at like 6 a.m. and had to come back to work at like 10 a.m. I don't think I slept. I think after it was all said and done for like 2 straight days. But wow, you know, what an experience we had back then. And we look at how it's evolved and grown from those initials. To me, you know, that was the infant stage, but it had already been a decade old. Mm-hmm. At that point, which is amazing. But you know, what a great history and family fun. I mean, my kids probably wore headphones and sat behind stages, all through the '90s as little kids. They didn't know. I mean, I think that's a part of their affinity for live music, is because as kids, we took them down there. I mean, remember, my first child wasn't even 6 weeks old and we took her down there.
I love that.
That's nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Mom and dad had a good time.
That's right.
I think she did too. But, you know, it was absolutely, you know, it's been a part of people's generations.
Absolutely.
But we're so excited to hear this year the lineup. I mean, Mr. Producer.
We're excited.
Extraordinaire. Come on, give us some layout on what we're going to hear, see.
Yeah. I mean, every year we're trying to, you know, we have a lot of stages and we're trying to please a lot of folks. So we want to have a little something for everybody. Engaging community, something we obviously, whether it be merchants, venues in the neighborhood, or the stages that we're going to do this year. So, we're excited about all the bands. A little bit of something again for everybody. The country stage, you know, we're excited about some bands on that stage specifically. I think it's just unique. We've got as headlining, War and Treaty. Started as a gospel R&B band, but have really taken off with country this past year or so. As I've been joking the last few weeks, you know, they're going to take us to church on Saturday on Saluda for sure. So. Really excited about that. A husband and wife duo, and it's just going to be, it'd be really something unique. As well, Zach Topp, who's a kind of a sleeper on that stage. He's a new guy. Sounds a lot like 90s country, like a George Strait. And I think people are going to really be, you know, 4 or 5 years from now, we'll probably be seeing him at Colonial Life, is my guess.
May not take that long. I mean, yeah. Look, Lainey Wilson came and played. Right. Look what happened to her.
I know, right.
Tell everybody it was St. Patrick's Day that launched her.
No doubt.
Sounds good anyway.
Lawrence on the main stage, Future Birds, a band out of Atlanta, Athens, Georgia. And, we've got the Wailers coming, a band, Sister Hazel, back on our nostalgia stage. I know there's going to be a lot of folks my age excited about that. Spider Monkey, my first trip to Columbia, and I've told this a few times during this run, but my first trip to Columbia was to St. Pat's, actually. Around 1996, 97, I'm living in Spartanburg, going to Wofford. Me and all my frat brothers are trying to figure out what to do on the weekend. And this band Spider Monkey, we'd been following for probably a year or so at that time. And they had been playing Magnolias. It was the first band that I remember being like, hey, 4 weeks from now, 6 weeks from now, they're playing the club, in our town, and we're not going to miss the show. And
Magnolias was called something else before. What was it? Well, it's not always Magnolias.
Magnolia's Pub. No, Magnolia's Pub. Originally. Yeah, I think so.
I'm dating myself.
Yeah. But, anyway, so we find out that Spider Monkey's playing St. Pat's. So myself and six or eight folks from Wofford come over to Columbia and get to watch Spider Monkey play on the roof of Pavlov. So my first experience of Columbia, my first experience in St. Pat's, was seeing Spider Monkey play on the roof of Pavlov. So it kind of sums up, I think, 5 points and some of the fun that can be had during St. Pat's and just in general in the college village down there. So,
well, it's so set up perfectly for this type of event. And that's what's great. I mean, you really can get all around, see all the music. The biggest problem you have as a patron is, who do you miss? You just can't see it all. It's that strong of a lineup.
Well, this year we've really worked hard to try to split everything up so you can try to catch a few minutes of every band. That was one of the goals myself and the production team came up. As we go through our comments of the year of how can we improve the festival, that was something that got brought up to us. We need more bathrooms this year, and we need and then we want to spread the lineup out a little better. So we really took some serious time and to make sure that we could fit everything in, but also add some new elements to it. We've got the Soda City Brass Band coming in and do a second line with us, which is going to be pretty cool. Heather and I, and maybe you might want to help us lead that, but they're going to start at the fountain. We got, I don't know if it's 8 or 9 piece, but we're going to start at the fountain. They're going to do like a 20-minute set, and then we're going to second line through Saluda Avenue, take them down to one of the stages, let them perform there. We're going to stop in a few of the bars, say hello, if you will, and do a little.
When is this happening?
Starts around 12 and 12:30. Would start around 12:30 from the fountain. So, but again, just trying to engage, make it more of an immersive experience for the folks that are at the festival. And then that kind of moves on to the merchants. We've got New Brooklyn Tavern now. One of the things that I've talked about for a couple years now, and when New Brooklyn came, it allowed me to go to the committee and say, hey, this is a year we should really make this happen. But just talking about engaging the engaging the venues that are in 5 points by putting some bands in their rooms day of show or day of the festival. Just the concept that, listen, if we do bands during the day, if it's in our time frame from 10 o'clock to 7, you've got to pay a ticket price to get in. So it still fits our model, still makes sense for the festival itself. So let's invest into these venues that are also have things going on and help them tell part of their story. So now we've got real music venues in 5 points along with our festival, again, telling this big St. Pat's story. So I was really excited about that part.
Talk a little bit about the bands that y'all are placing there.
So we actually worked with New Brooklyn. We let them, we really want it to be organic. We want it to be, we're not trying to tell people how to run their own businesses. So we were like, hey, I work with Mike and Carlin. We're like, hey, what's the best thing for you guys to do? I mentioned a few bands. We talked about it. They didn't like my ideas in a good way. Meaning, hey, they were like, hey, what if we do this? I'm like, man, that you're right. That's what we should do. And so we just, kind of work together on it, and I let them take the lead because they know what works for their room. They know their crowd. And again, we want it to be real. We want it to be like their thing, and them be a part of our event with us, not us kind of, necessarily programming their space.
It's another way to draw people into the whole process. It was interesting to watch, for years you always had some people, St. Patrick's Day causes too much interruption, but when you're constantly putting everybody in together and it becomes a village event, it really does change everything. I think the quality of the music, I think, you know, we don't talk a lot about, but, you know, the Kids Pavilion, the run, the parade. I mean, last year, I think the parade had probably the biggest crowd I've ever seen.
I think that's what everyone was kind of saying. So, I mean, we had a large number of participants too. So I think it was kind of after COVID, people were like, yeah, let's have a good time. Let's party. And we heard such amazing feedback from everyone that was attending the parade and said it was just a really good parade, a really good showing of our community.
I'm hoping to debut a new outfit for this year.
You better. We had a great one last year.
You set a standard last year. So. You know, the kids area, the Pot of Gold Playland, we've a way to work with the merchants in town. Andy's Deli has been a great staple of Five Points for so long. And went to Andy and said, hey, you know, we've, because of the flood back in 2018, the kids area had to move around from over in Martin Luther King Park to inside the footprint. So it's moved around a little bit in the last few years, trying to figure out what worked the best. But, you know, partnering with Andy and having his parking lot, having bathrooms and a place to eat and a place to go inside, maybe a little air conditioned, whatever. You know, again, to give a place or a space for our families to come and have fun. There's going to be a stage over there with a lot of activities, face painting and balloon guy. And, I think there's gonna be some karaoke. So if you want to do some singing,
crafts, you can do that. For kids.
I want people to stay.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's fair.
You know, I'll tend to get up there, you know, there's a certain song that I like to sing, but other than that, I try to stay off the stage.
Are you a better bartender or a better singer?
Much better bartender than I ever was a singer. But, fair you know, enough. My dear friend Murray Broody lets me dream that I was a singer every once in a while, lets me get on with Tootie and sing a song, maybe two, if I'm feeling frisky. Heather and Trey, talk too about the enhancements. You know, last year y'all tried some new things with the beer garden, more access to different bathrooms, different levels of tickets. I know y'all are trying some different things this year. Y'all want to talk a little bit about what y'all are doing to enhance. But you know, as you said, you know, add some more elements to the festival.
So I think for us, as you know, me being an attendee for all these years, one of my first St. Pat's, I worked at Salty Nut. So I'd gone out and enjoyed the festival during the day and I went and worked the shift that night. I remember walking in and I was on my POS system and I was like, oh my gosh, what have I done? Cause I overserved myself a hair bit and I did not realize how many folks were going to show up in a Salty Nut that night, you know, for to eat, drink and continue the merriment. But I think for us, it's, you know, all these years just being an attendee and then having the flip side view of it last year was eye-opening. And I like to tell people that St. Pat's is a beast. I think that's the easiest or best term to describe it because there's so many moving parts and so many things going on. And so, you know, a lot of my friends told me last year, you seem awfully calm, you know, and I was like, I think it's because I really don't know what I don't know yet. And so it was very informative. Last year, learned a lot. And I think having that perspective, I saw some things that I wanted to improve on. I think the festival, having the title St. Patrick's Day and Five Points, it needed some more Irish components. And so I think the starting of the second tier Lucky Leprechaun VIP lounge last year, we had some, you know, Irish colored bunting. Again, a small step, but it again just puts that, you know, aspect into it that we are being more conscious about having a little bit more culture involved in our festival. And so that was one thing that we kind of addressed. And of course, Lucky Leprechaun will be back this year. We learned a couple of things from it and just continuing to improve on it. I think 99.9% of our attendees that were in Lucky Leprechaun really enjoyed themselves last year. Again, going back to it being kind of that area for folks my age that you're still in the thick of everything. You're in the middle of it all. It gives you a little bit more breathing room and a nice restroom to get to. So that sort of thing is important. And I think additionally, we've added, it was one of the important things to me We've partnered with Cola Love and John Brunty. He works or is associated with the Recovery Center to offer a mocktail experience. So we have come up with the Saint. It's going to be a mocktail lounge.
You're putting Saint and John Brunty in the same statement. Yes.
And he's been amazing to work with. He has been so enthusiastic and just 1,000% on board with helping us get this off the ground. It was an idea, and working with Cola Love and John has really just had that vision come to life. So
we had an opportunity. We did a funding with Cola Love so they could do these pop-ups mm-hmm. and everything. And so I really love what they're doing and the experiences that they're bringing. John working with the Courage Center and the recovery program. We just did the opening for their Columbia site. I think that's one of the most incredible programs, but this is what I love about St. Pat's and why I think it's such a great event and that people are so excited. I mean, 3 years ago, people were beyond themselves waiting for the gates to mm-hmm. open back up and be part of it. But thinking about those folks with the mocktail station and the other, that's what's, I think, makes it one of the best events, is because there truly is something for everybody to enjoy, you know?
Yeah.
You got the guys or gals who are going to drink beer and game changers and do all that. But you still allow people to have music, entertainment for their kids, mocktail station, great food opportunities, you know, and then of course, music to me is the number one part of it.
Yeah. And I will say, every interview or whatever that I think over the past year, even last year, we were talking about, everyone's talking about green beer. And I'm like, we don't have green beer. I think it was something probably back in the day.
It was.
Yeah. And so this year we are going to, in fact, bring back some green beer.
Yesterday's, I think was the place that had the green beer and then they put it out. But you know, the one thing we don't have down there that we need, I'm throwing this plug in, Irish coffee. Mm.
We actually are going to have that. Yeah. There you go. Your wish is granted.
Step ahead of you this week.
That's right.
I don't know what it is, but I've been on the Irish coffee thing lately. Yeah. And I think it's because I saw an episode on TV about the Buena Vista, which is the ultimate place to go have an Irish coffee in San Francisco.
Okay.
They say they invented it, but I'm not sure they invented it. But anyway, watching them, and they make like dozens at a time. And so now after dinner, I've been wanting an Irish coffee, but I was like, you know, it'd be a nice way to start off St. Patrick's Day, an Irish coffee.
Those are going to be located in one of our new activations as well, the Logan's Irish Pop-Up Pub. So that will be your opportunity to grab one of
those. Where is that going to be located?
Divine Street.
Yeah,
right next to Yesterday's, actually, or the old Yesterday's, now Ruby Sunshine. Mm-hmm.
We're also going to have O'Hara's of Lexington. They're going to be on site, and we're going to have some Irish food fair for people to enjoy cuisine. I think they're going to offer 3 or 4 options that day. And also they're going to have O'Hara's house band playing underneath that tent. So we're going to have some Irish music and some Irish food. And so that kind of checks that checkbox of bringing in some more Irish culture to the festival.
I heard that the bagpipers will even be stopping by mm-hmm. the pub. So
wow. Wow. Any other new exciting twists? Any new food vendors that we need to know about?
Yeah. I mean, we took a really big task of really trying to identify some food trucks just to have some more variety down there. So we vetted that process a lot more closely this year, and we're excited. We've got, I think, Caribbean and Jamaican and barbecue. So hopefully we'll have something for everybody, just like music-wise.
Yeah. I think one of the cool things, especially for families and maybe the younger generation, is a new skate ramp installation. We're working with Blue Tile, and we've brought in a group from Florida that's going to bring in a half pipe, and we're going to have programming throughout the day. So they're going to do a little training in the morning. There's going to be some contest. You can sign up online, stpatscolumbia.com. You can sign up for the day. Your entry gets you into the festival and into the skate contest. I think that one's going to be a little different.
Where's that going to be located?
I'm going to have looked up that address, but it's in the old pet store parking lot.
Old Eckers.
Yep. I'll get that address for you, but, it's the upper part of Hardin the gate is.
800 block of Hardin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. Yeah. So we're excited about that. That's going to be really neat. I'm excited to see how that kind of turns out.
Oh, I think it'll be a big hit. Yeah. You know, that was one of the, when we got pushed, probably, I don't know, 14 years ago or longer to build a skate park over mm-hmm. in Rosewood.
Mm-hmm. Right.
everybody's like, y'all are crazy. And it has been one of the best things we've ever done.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really neat.
You know? And so I think that's another great twist.
And the key really is because we're trying to engage merchants in Five Points. You know, this all stems from, hey, how do we interact with you guys to make this part of y'all's, you know, weekend and not just us coming and putting this festival on. And, you know, Breakpoint, for example, the tennis and pickleball store.
Stop by her place today.
Yeah, yeah. So you'll be glad to know we got a challenge, some ping pong challenges going on Saluda. Probably have some of the artists where she is donating a ping pong table for a table tennis table for us, for a hospitality area for all of our bands. And they're going to be, I think, 11:30 or 12. They're doing a little tournament with me. So if you have a GA ticket, and you can beat me in whatever amount of points, you get a VIP ticket. So we got a few little games that we're going to do like that just to have a little fun with folks. You know, might as well make it fun for us if we're going to be working all day, right?
Are you good at ping pong? Because this is the first I've heard about this.
I'm pretty good at ping pong.
Oh, okay.
He feels very confident anyway.
Yeah, I know.
He feels very confident that he's not going to have to give out any badges. So, as always, I had a great time last year and the last couple of years being the Grand Marshal. Tell us about who is the Grand Marshal this year.
So I'm very, very excited about this. We thought it would be a great opportunity to really do something for the kids. And we have contacted a bunch of local mascots. So
we figured since we had a clown last year, we would get another clown this year. Yes.
So we have, let me see if I can name all of them that we have on the docket. We have reached out to the tiger, but have not gotten, confirmation on that. So sorry, all you tiger fans, but, Cocky is on board.
No tears here.
Yeah, me neither. But we've got Cocky, Ollie, the otter, Mason from Fireflies is coming. We've got the koala from Columbia College.
The fighting koala.
Oh, sorry. Fighting koala.
Fighting koalas at Columbia College now.
We've got, I think the Benedict tiger.
All right.
Who else am I missing? Oh,
you got the yellow jacket from Alan.
We reached out, but again, that's one of them we haven't heard back from. And I think I
can help you with that.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great. And I think we have the blowfish from Lexington. I think that's who we've got on the docket. So I think it'll be great.
Oh, I think the kids will love that. Mm-hmm. That's going to be incredible. So just take a second to remind people of the progress of the day. We got 7:30 registration. Is that right?
7:30 is for our get to the green. Mm-hmm. Yep. So we have the 5K, 10K and 1 mile fun run. I think that typically lasts till about 9:30. And then we have our parade that kicks off at 10. Folks can attend that for free along Divine Street. And then that comes down Divine Street. And then makes a hard right on Hardin Street. We adjusted the parade route a little bit just inside the festival, just to make it a little bit more easy. And then allowed us the opportunity to set some stuff up on Saluda that we haven't had before. And so that happens. And then the festival gates will also open at 10 a.m. And our Pot of Gold Playland will run from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Our live music will be 11 to 7-ish.
First band goes on at 11.
That's right. One little thing I think it'd be cool to mention. We are doing water monsters this year. So if you bring your trying to be a little more aware of our waste. So we have brought in...
And our hydration.
Yes. That's correct. So we've brought in... we've purchased some water monsters along with the city. Has brought us a couple that we're going to partner with you guys on and provide some water throughout the festival, throughout locations in the festival. So if you bring in an empty container or your bottle, you can...
You can come in with it.
That's mm-hmm. right. That's right. Mm-hmm. So
that's good to know. That'd be a good thing to promote.
Yeah.
Yes.
As well.
Yep.
New this year too, we have some merch. So we're excited to have that. We've got a white t-shirt and a green t-shirt version. We've also got a cool hat and some stickers. You can purchase those at A Little Happy, which is one of our merchants down in Five Points. She's got them online in her, on her, website as well. And
so
then
you can
day
get
of.
Those now.
Yes, sir.
That's mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
They're really cool design too.
Heather and I and Dave and the team took a little trip to Nashville back in the, I guess fall time. Is that right?
October. We went in August and September.
But went to Nashville a couple of times and we did a trip.
You had to go back to see what you didn't see the first time.
Yeah. Right. But we got to go to an event called the,
Tomato Art Fest.
And got to see how it's in Little Five Points in Nashville, very much a very similar, village to ours.
Yeah.
And, the way their community buys into that festival, it really inspired us to try to kind of create some of that same energy, working with the neighborhoods, and that kind of helped us spin up to the merchandise thing. One of the things they did that we are definitely going to work on for next year is each neighborhood had their own like themed t-shirt. So like, for example, Shannon would have their t-shirt and Forest Acres would have their t-shirt or whatever neighborhood, you know,
Wheeler Hill
yeah, or
MLK.
Wells Garden, that's right, Wells Garden, et cetera. And they would all have like established on, and it would be, you know, it was red because it was all tomato focused, but we're going to work on that for next year for our neighborhoods. You know, again, just trying to figure out ways to get the neighborhoods to buy into what we're trying to do. We've had some great conversations with our neighborhood associations and of just how we run the festival and how our vision for it moving forward is to, again, be stewards of not only Five Points, but the neighborhoods. I think that's important because most of the people that moved in those neighborhoods moved there because they love Five Points, right? So, and we want the St. Pat's Festival to be, it's one of its crowning jewels, right? Of living in that community. So,
and another thing we saw too, was that the neighborhoods really obviously embraced the festival too. They decorate their yards. Like they went all out. Like it was really fun to see. So like Trey said, when we met with them a couple of weeks ago, they're all on board. They're all super excited. So that's something that we're going to focus on for 25. And, yeah, I think it's going to be a really great thing to just another component to the festival and just making it something special for everybody to partake in. And yeah.
Yeah, we've already got a few emails this year from neighborhoods or homes that are in the neighborhoods that are having their little parties or big parties, if you will. And, you know, it's exciting to see them using, you know, our iconography and our kind of our spiel to say, hey, we're having a party at our house this week. Everybody coming in town. And, you know, one of the interesting stories I heard from one of the neighborhood association guys was about his nieces. And, you know, he doesn't get to see them that many times a year, but every St. Pat's for, he said the last 7, 8, 9 years, her and all of her friends and girlfriends and et cetera, they show up, they are in Shannon and they're there for, you know, the long weekend. And he said, he's always looking forward to it. And to hear him, you know, the uncle talk about that, his family coming, it was pretty neat to see that. So.
So we have a family friend who just moved into the Shannon neighborhood about 3 years ago. And since they moved there, St. Patrick's Day has been their gathering and they invite everybody after the parade to come over. And they have this huge spread and cocktails and everything. And everybody, that's where everybody starts. And then they walk down the hill and this has become their Christmas party.
Right.
And love they that. Love it because love it. Their neighbors come by, their friends stop by, their kids and their friends come by. And they're like, it makes everybody's just happy. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody's just happy and in a great mood. And
I think that's one thing I've been telling people this year. I feel like going back to our music real quick is that I just feel like it's going to be a happy day. Like the music is just going to be really happy. I think it's just going to be a really positive, good vibe down
sunny
in the district.
Sunny and 70 and music Absolutely. Will be a beautiful day in
downtown
Columbia. So we've talked about the bands. We've talked about, you know, the enhancements. Talk to us a little bit about what are we missing? What have we forgotten here?
I think something that's really important is the ops. I think the way that the team, not only the St. Pat's team, but the city, the CPD, I mean, our sponsors, basically at the end of the day, we start building the city, this festival city on Friday at 6 p.m. Thankful to our merchants that let us start blocking roads and impacting business and all that. And we don't take that for granted. Which is one of the reasons we try to move so quick. But we move portalettes, you know, several hundred portalettes, 5 stages, you know, barricades, fencing, water barrels, you know, I could go on and on. But the point is we start at 6 o'clock on Friday and by 10 o'clock Saturday night, we have put in 40,000 people. We've hosted a great event. Had a lot of music played, a lot of beer drank, a lot of mocktails, a lot of things have happened and we have to get the streets back clean. So I think the dance that goes on is some people just don't, I think like last year, you know, Heather was, she didn't know what she was missing yet. So she was able to stay calm, thankfully. And, but that's kind of part of it. Like, you know, it is organized chaos. So we do it's one of the reasons we work for 8-9 months, putting it together. We've got a timeline. So we start, you know, again,
I've already been talking about 2025 bands. So,
right. Yeah. So we started working with our neighbors on, you know, where we can drop fencing and things like that. And the CPD works with us on allowing us to use some of their parking. So like, again, it really does become a neighborhood effort. Whether it's, you know, Gardener's Outpost helping us supply some plants for our, to help dress up an area. Right. So again, we really try to utilize everybody we can, to make it as, again, as a group and family, community or organized event as possible, because we can't do it by ourselves. You know, there's no one person that does this event. There's a committee of four or five that really kind of are the nuts and bolts of the day to day. And then there's a committee of another 10 or 12 that are literally helping put all the pieces together, getting volunteers. I mean, we have hundreds and hundreds of volunteers.
Yeah. Without them, the festival could truly not take place. It's really great.
From dropping off sandwiches to literally helping us with gates. One of the cool things we've done, you know, we work with our veterans on our bag checks, and just to get to interact with some of those guys and the pride they take in working for the event and raising money for their causes, but also realizing they're putting on a community event and are a very important part of that role. Man, it's, you know, it's, we get a lot of smiles around the office in terms of when we work on this thing. I think we realize the impact we make, in terms of the people we're working with. Because we, you know, we talk about the charities that we give money to. There's a lot of businesses that run that day. So we've got production companies from local production companies, local staging, local, you know, obviously our distributors, our businesses, our, you know, Walgreens.
People printing our scrims and our signage. I mean, like it's very much. Yeah.
I think people forget that. You know, it's funny, you know, people will complain about when the fair comes. Mm-hmm. But I said, you just got to remember too, that those people are buying all their stuff here,
right?
You know, ice, gas, you know, name it, you know, all their vegetables, everything that they're selling and buying, they're buying that locally. So,
that's right.
You know, there are pluses to it. And you've got to forget, it's not just a festival. It's not just a group coming here. We're actually, you know, creating an economic impact. You know, hotels are booked. People are spending the night. Uber drivers are making money. Mm-hmm. You know, everything there, the trickle down effect is great. And I think sometimes you have to remind people about that.
Yeah. And that was one thing that when the Darla Moore School of Business came to us and we did that economic impact study last year, St. Pat's was the main focus. They did do some work for our homecoming event, Paint the Town Garnet in Black. But a majority of that research came out in the final numbers were that our one day festival has a $12.6 million impact on our region. And I mean, that's just, I don't think anything comes close to that except for football, but I think that's kind of what they said to us, but those are just amazing numbers. So, I mean, that's a one day festival and has that much impact. So,
and I think it's the fact that you have such a large area that's contained and is free of car free and you can walk around. And I think that's what people enjoy is that you can go everything right there in those 5-point areas and hit everything and you feel safe. You feel comfortable. You know, I mean, you got plenty of places to use the restroom, plenty of places to get alternative beverages. There's tons of food. I mean, everything's there. So, I mean, it's thought through.
In our retail, we've got some really good retail and some local artists as well coming in. So
Look at that. There we go. We're adding to it.
And speaking of the fairgrounds, that's where our offsite parking is going to be. We encourage and advise and request that folks don't park in our neighborhoods to keep our neighbors happy. So we have expanded on the offsite parking at the fairgrounds. It'll be satellite parking. We're going to have a shuttle service and that's going to begin at 6:30 a.m. so our runners can get to the starting line. And I think that's going to go till 8 p.m. We extended those hours for that. And we're not going to be in the RV lot. We're actually going to be on the fairgrounds. And we just need to make sure our patrons go to Gate 6. I think there's a gun and knife show going on that day. So it may get a little bit confusing, but we've been trying to advertise that as much as possible. Again, we also expanded greatly on our website with our FAQ. So did a lot of due diligence with that, trying to get a lot more information on the website for folks. So I encourage people to visit that if they have some questions. But the comment has partnered with us on that. So again, just another community partner that we're working with here in the city. So hopefully people will take that into consideration and utilize those services.
I do think, I think one thing is interesting that you would find cool, kind of cool, Daniel, is an effort that I've made this year is the last few years we've, for our bands, we've done our catering for the bands basically backstage. You know, in Columbia, I don't know that you would call us a melting pot the way you might call a New York City a melting pot, right? We certainly are a melting pot.
You know, we have one of the largest international communities in the state right here.
Is that right?
Yep.
So I am, one of my goals this year was to really create this atmosphere so that all the bands kind of felt that Southern charm of our town. So we are going to host all of the bands in one hospitality area. So instead of, you know, each stage having their own little catering room and all that, all the bands are going to come to one area, and we've set up this great area. We've, again, worked with our local partners, coffee shops like Curiosity, going to bring some coffee for us. And
Bang Back's bringing some pinball machines.
Bang Back bringing some pinball machines. The table tennis, as an example. We've working with our distributors to have a nice keg there for them. But basically we're going to make this a hangout for all of our bands. So all the bands from all the stages will be coming to this location to actually interact, you know, do their little sign of our poster and all that so they can feel part of it. But, you know, my goal was to make it that, you know, when you go to these bigger festivals and they make these kind of creative hospitality areas, that's really where bands get to hang out and they have these conversations. And the next thing you know, they're writing songs together. That's my goal. You know, because the event takes place, and that's one of the conversations I have with everyone when we're working on the build out. It's especially coming up with new ideas. I'm like, guys, we have to be able to build it and then break it down in, you know, 24 hours. Right. If you go to Bonnaroo or some of these larger festivals, they're building for 4, 5, 6 weeks before this event takes place. So unfortunately, you know, some of the ideas we see, we're like, man, we'd love to be able to build that, but we don't have the time. I'm excited that we do, or, you know, the old Wells Fargo parking lot, we've created this really cool, kind of creative space. So we're going to have all the bands there. Again, just want to give them that Southern charm, that Southern hospitality from us. And, hopefully when leave
hopefully
Columbia,
you know, they'll have a little taste of Columbia. You know, I tell people all the time, go down to Soda City and check out all the different foods and the locals, you know, bakeries. There's a lady, Carrie Vines, who does these lemon brownies that I think are the greatest things I've ever eaten in my life. But, you know, I love for people to taste that because that's a reflection of who we are as a community, you know. And for me, food and music go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
And I love the idea what you're doing of having it centralized and bringing all those folks together.
So
for
now
multiple
you're have
reasons.
I mean, you're going to have a country stage artist with a rock and roll stage artist, with a nostalgia stage artist. And so basically,
hey, number one country song in America.
Well, let's go. That's right.
Beyonce. So, you know, I mean, come on now. You never know what will happen.
You never know what might happen.
And you might even get credit. You don't even know it.
No.
You'd be like Patrick Davis's song, Something About a Boat, that they did with Jimmy Buffett. And one of the guys who got credit wasn't even there. He had met a lady in Cabo and he missed the whole finishing writing, but they gave him credit anyway.
And I don't know which is a better story.
Well, it was funny is because Patrick was telling us that Jimmy Buffett had all of them there. And he said, he goes, now there's only six of you guys here. I'm paying seven people. And they told him the story. He goes, oh, I love this song even more now. But you forget the connections, you know. Jerry Jeff and Jimmy were running mates and big artists together, and people don't know that. And those of us who've been around Columbia know that Django Walker shows up here and there to play some shows in Columbia, mainly on my back porch. But anyway, I digress.
Yeah.
Oh, that's what you say all the time, Trey.
Yeah. Great minds.
I'd be remiss if I didn't also give a shout out to our interns. We've got some amazing interns. Have helped us. Meredith, who is now my assistant director with Five Points, she actually interned with us last year for the festival. She had never attended the festival, so it was a real big eye opener for her. But she jumped right in and came on board full time at the association last June after she graduated from Carolina. And so we've got some really great interns, and they've been super helpful with us, and they're just part of the team.
Yeah, I don't know if you know this, but I've taught a couple classes over at USC in the festival management program, or the sports
side is our famous professor over there, Mr. Paul Graham.
That's right. Definitely a shout out to Mr. Paul Graham, who got me involved.
And I want to hear Professor Britt or Professor Professor Judy. I'm like, what? Yeah,
I don't know who those people are either.
I've been trying to get them to let me teach a class over there, and I hadn't gotten the cut yet.
But first of all, the students are amazing that, you know, and engaged in what we do. But I taught a festival management class last year. This semester I did not. But basically the students literally get to work the class work the festival as the class. So if I met with the city about electric or water or engineers or about traffic or whatever, that would be the topic for the day. And we would work on the site plan, or we may work on the bands or how we were marketing, or maybe how the social media worked or this website or things of that nature. And then the day of the event, the students actually got to work the festival. So basically broke them up. I had about 40 students or so, and they would break into different positions to, you know, I'd had some working production, some helping with the bands, some helping in the hospitality area, some helping with the VIP experience. But they all basically got their hands dirty, if you will. And no better way to learn if you want to be in sports and entertainment than to work the festival. It is funny, you know, you get your, I guess I'm allowed to say this, but you get your, not your report card, but your, what is it called? When you get your,
transcript?
No, your teachers give, you get,
I don't know. I haven't been in school in a very long time.
What are those things?
Evaluation.
Evaluation, right. So when you get your evaluation, one of the comments is, I can't believe they made me work all day. And I'm like, welcome to the real world.
Absolutely.
I was like, man, it's, you know, so anyway, had a lot of fun working with those students, and they've been a great asset. Learned a lot from them every year, which is cool. You know, we always try to, you know, the more young folks we can get around us, the more we can learn for sure. So anyway, that's been a lot of fun working with USC in their program.
Another thing too, that we've partnered with a hotel, Aloft? I don't know. I always say Aloft or Aloft. That's something new that we're doing. We've always had hotel partners, but we've really trying to, elevate that. And we're going to have something on Friday evening. Don't know if we've got those details completely ironed out. I'm looking to Trey to kind of help me here. But yeah, so we've got, room blocks over there. I think they're doing a giveaway of sort, at that hotel as well. So Friday evening before the festival, we'll be having some sort of live music.
I believe Drew Dixon is playing that night as well. Yeah. So Drew Dixon is playing, the Friday night at Aloft. Also I think Koa is doing some customized St. Pat's drinks. So again, I mean, we're stretching we're stretching outside of Five Points, which is really neat to get people, really all around Columbia, knowing what's going on, engaged in what we're trying to do. And again, we're trying to bring people into Columbia. That's part of this festival. It's part of the mission of this festival. So, you know,
and also going back to food. So another food, setup that we're going to have that's going to be new this year, talking about community partners, is some folks on Main Street came to us and were like, you know, everyone just goes to Five Points that day, so how can we get engaged with you all, and you know, let's bring our districts together. So Smoked and some more of those folks are going to be doing a nice food setup as well. So that's going to be right outside the Pot of Gold Playland, and I believe that they've got some fun options that they're going to have. I think they're going to have green buns for the burgers, and they're doing a hibachi with some green yum yum sauce. So really, they're just really jumping all in and having some fun with their food, and it'll be an elevated food experience too. So we're excited about that.
You can obviously see from our effort, we are really trying to connect with everyone in Columbia. You know, whether it be Fat Rad or Master Splinter now with Hip Hop Family Day. Big fan of his and what he does for our community and even for the music scene here. But he is our host, our MC, if you will, hosting our fountain stage. So he's got a great Michael Jackson set, I think, planned, maybe a Prince set planned. Obviously, we've got that Soda City Brass Band starting off right before he gets going. So again, us reaching out to make sure that other partners in the community that aren't necessarily either in Five Points or directly impacted by the event that day, you know, they're all doing the same thing, whether it's the Rosewood event, the Jam Room Music Festival, all those folks we communicate with, we work with them, we give them tickets to give away to their fans, if you will. Again, just ways to try to make sure that they feel like we want to be a community partner, not just some big event that takes place, you know, March, you know, one day in March. So,
well, I mean, it sounds like y'all have covered so much as in inviting and engaging and, you know, And that's what it's all about. I mean, this is a Columbia event. And, you know, some people say, everybody's down in Five Points, but they're really not, because they're staying in other places. They're going out afterwards to dinner and other, you know, there's a lot of activities happening in Columbia. I think this is just a signature that really brings people together. I mean, so we're excited about it. We hadn't talked about tickets. Mm-hmm. People they get them at the door. What are you recommending to folks?
So we would suggest that you buy your tickets in advance. For one, it's a cheaper ticket cost. And for two, we have adjusted our gates this year. Trey and his team have been diligently working on that. So we're going to have kind of like a fast pass, fast lane per se, for those people that have already bought their tickets. And then we're going to have the lines that are folks that haven't bought their tickets. So we also have moved to a cashless event that is the St. Pat's stuff. So that will be our gate sales and our St. Pat's authorized bars. So other retailers, other merchants, restaurants and bars throughout the district, you know, their policy is their own. But again, the Five Points Association St. Pat's bars and our gates will
ATMs
be cashless.
Available?
No. Mm-mm. Nope, not this
year. Just throughout the festival, normal footprint. So there won't be any from us. So yeah.
Folks, you hear that, right? Yep. Make sure you bring your cash, your credit cards, kidneys, bring it all.
Yeah. Your water bottle.
I know there's definitely an ATM on Hardin, and there's an ATM at the corner of Divine that's permanent. So there are some ATMs
and
throughout.
Blossom Street.
That Truist. Wells Fargo's is gone, but Truist is available. Right. Right.
So, yeah, absolutely. So remember, folks, Saturday the 16th, it always had my wife's birthday's on the 18th. So St. Patrick's Day is always our birthday event. But anyway, remember, come out and run in the morning, mm-hmm. come to the parade, make sure that you show up for bands. Hey, gates open at 11.
10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Music starts at 11.
Yeah.
Music starts at 11. So you can do the parade, get the first band, get an Irish coffee, get some lunch, and then catch a whole series of incredible music throughout the day until 7 p.m. And then you can go visit one of our local establishments and have a nice dinner and go home and be in bed by 10.
Absolutely. Sounds like a perfect day.
I love that.
And the weather is going to be beautiful. We just keep manifesting that out.
That's right.
Out putting it out there. So,
you know, sunny and 70 would be ideal, but we'll take sunny.
That's right.
And we certainly thank the city and the county for everything they do to help the festival maintain itself and do what it does. So,
that's one of those things that you really love to see all the agencies come together and work together. They realize how important this is, but y'all lay out the groundwork and, you know, those 8 months you talk about before, you know, this doesn't happen. We didn't just make this up and do it in a month. Y'all take, and this is a year long process.
It's funny because I think it was in January. Some people were like, y'all already working on St. Pat's. I'm like, already 2025. Yeah. So it's just, I don't think people really grasp what all goes into the festival and all the planning and what actually happens that day, but it's a lot. Again, I said earlier, it's a beast. It really is. It's a fun beast.
Think about it. I mean, it's a one day a festival that is bigger than some of our towns in the state for one day. So you're putting in all the infrastructure and everything that's needed for those 40,000 people to be there. But we're grateful that you do it. We're excited about it. St. Patrick's Day is one of my favorite things in the world in Columbia. It always has been. I'm a big proponent of it. It continues to grow. The worst part we ever had was COVID when we couldn't mm-hmm. have it. But I tell
that was the first one I'd come back or the first time I had been back to be involved with St. Pat's. I booked all the bands for our COVID year that didn't happen. So hated I missed that one.
I just remember the first one after COVID and that we had, and I heard from more people how excited every age level. People are just so excited
to
be together mm-hmm. and out, but then to have this super lineup of music and everything else, people just got excited. Yeah. I mean, it really was. I mean, it was electrifying. And, you know, we had, knock on wood, low incidents, and hopefully that'll continue to stay mm-hmm. that way.
That's right.
I think people have learned how to handle themselves.
Yeah. One of the keys to doing this is that, it's one of my speeches I give in my, production world or concert world is, you know, we got to have a lot of fun tonight, but the key is we got to be able to do it again tomorrow, because that's part of being in the business, you know? So we want to put on a great festival, but we want to be able to do it again next year. So no matter what we do, how much fun we have, how great it is, we got to do it right so we can do it again.
Was that the year that we had that big storm on Friday night when you were trying to set up all the stages?
Yeah. Yeah, sure was. I would think I'd have more gray hair, but I don't
know. I remember riding through there going, I can't believe these guys are up here trying to get all this together. 10 o'clock
I know,
on Friday
I have to
night.
Like tell myself, I'm like, I'm just concentrated on Saturday, but I'm like, God, I got to think about Friday night too for our people setting up everything. So yeah, it's.
Yeah. It doesn't magically appear, you know?
Yeah. It really is a lot of moving parts. And I think that's one of the intriguing things that got me interested in the business, frankly, was how all that stuff works. I think one of the great seats in Columbia is go have dinner at Saluda's on Friday night and watch what happens. I think Steve should actually charge more for those balconies on the weekend or the Friday night before the festival. Cause you can sit there and watch a festival be built, and it's kind of neat.
Well, I'm glad that you just said that, cause I wanted to touch on that real quick, was that I think that all the stuff, new stuff that we're bringing to the festival this year, from our visits to the other festivals too, we are hopefully for 2025 to kind of incorporate some more satellite type events, and bring a more artistic component, like art component, to the festival for next year. So those are some things didn't quite check that off on my to-do list this year, but, that's definitely on the docket for next year. So hopefully maybe having something on a Thursday and or Friday, and maybe a brunch on Sunday, something like that. So
gospel brunch on Sunday.
I would love Would love that.
Table set up in the middle of Saluda Avenue, gospel band and playing, choir singing.
That's it.
Chicken and waffles, pancakes going.
You're welcome to the committee anytime.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've been wanting to do something like that in Columbia, because I read about in Charleston, they were doing these Sunday potlucks, and they were inviting different churches and different religions choirs to different places, and then they have potluck, and then they have all the choir singing.
Oh, I love that idea.
But having, you know, they had all denominations tied into it. And I'm like, that would be something really cool.
Something we should do.
It would be fun.
Something we should do.
Gospel brunch.
Yeah. My first one was down at Hall's one year, and I was sitting at the bar that day and having my Bloody Mary, and they came in, and I was like, it brought tears to my eyes. It was a good Sunday. So yeah.
It will get your juices flowing for sure. Well, thank y'all for being here. This was really awesome. I look forward to seeing everybody in Five Points. I do want to put a bug in for 2025. I think it'd be really cool if you got interns to do a time-lapse video of the whole thing being set up, operating, and going down. Mm-hmm. I think that would be really something cool to share with people. Hey, this is what happens in less than 24 hours.
Love that.
Think about it.
All right.
Thanks everybody for listening.
Thank you.